and pray once more before we begin. We'll read verses 5 and 6 of chapter 7 and then skip over to verse 1. And we'll read from verse 1 to verse 4 of chapter 8. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's pray. Paul, would you pray? Well, we began last week to look at verse 1 of chapter 8. And you remember that I did the same thing last week that I did this morning. That is, I left out verses 7 through 25 of chapter 7. And the reason I did that was in order to show the connection that chapter 8 has with the first part of chapter 7. Paul's real subject all the way through chapter 6 and going right into chapter 7 up to verse 6, his real subject has been the Christian's death with Christ to sin and to the law, and the Christian's resurrection with Christ to walk in newness of life in a new realm, in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what he's been talking about. And he talks about that right through 6 and into the beginning of chapter 7 down to verse 6. So that's what he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about the fact that we have died to sin and to law and that we're alive in a new realm. And that we're alive unto God and that we're alive to grace and to righteousness and to life in the Holy Spirit. So he wants to talk about that, but because of the shocking things that he said in verse 5, he has to take some time out and explain what he means whenever he says that the law stirs up sin. And so in verses 7 to 25, he explains these things, and he shows that even though the law is good, it actually strengthens sin in those who are in the flesh. Those who are still in the flesh and under the law, sin is actually strengthened by the law. And even though the law is good and the law is not to blame, the fact is that law leaves men in a state of sin and misery and bondage, and leaves them crying out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" Well, the fact is, that's exactly what the law was intended to do. It never was intended to be a means of life or a means of justification. So what Paul has done here is explained in these verses, verses 7 to 25, he's explained how it is that the law stirs up sin in those who are in the flesh and where the law takes that person. And so as soon as he is finished explaining all that in verses 7 to 25, he immediately goes back to what he wanted to talk about in the first place. And he does that in 8, 1 and 2. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Now, these are wonderful words and wonderful verses. And we might be tempted to focus in, first of all, on the words "no condemnation." There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or we might be drawn to verse 2, which is another amazing verse. He says, "The law of the Spirit of life," capital S, the Holy Spirit, "the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." I don't know which is more wonderful. But the key words here, the first thing we ought to look at, are neither of those things. The key words appear in both verses. And what are those key words? What's that? In Christ Jesus. Those are the key words. In Christ Jesus. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death in Christ Jesus." That's the center and heart of everything. And in fact, those three words take in everything that we've looked at in chapter 6 and in chapter 7 up to verse 6. In Christ Jesus. And actually, they take us clear back to what we looked at in chapter 5, where he makes this contrast of in Adam and then much more. If you're in Christ, much more you'll live. So these are the key words in this section. What's true of those who are in Adam? Well, clear back in chapter 5, remember, they're under sin and they're under death. Or another way of saying it, you can say sin reigns over those who are in Adam, and death reigns. And he says death reigned even from Adam to Moses before the law was ever given. So sin reigns and death reigns, and they are in a state of bondage. But that's not true of those who are in Christ. Those who are in Christ, their old man was crucified with Christ, and they have died to sin. They've died to that realm. They've passed out of that old realm. And now they're alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And instead of being in the realm where sin reigns, they're no longer under sin. They're in the realm where grace reigns. They've died to the law. They've died to sin. And not only that, but they've been raised up to walk in newness of life. They're alive to God. And he says in Galatians, he says, "I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God." So the truth about those who are in Christ is that they've been released from the law. They serve in newness of the Holy Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter, and so on. So in other words, he's talking about this new realm, being in Christ. And people get mixed up on verses 1 and 2 because they're not thinking in terms of realms. Now let me just explain this. If you just look at it, look what it looks like it's saying. It looks like it's saying this. The reason that we're not condemned, verse 1, is because we've been released from the power of sin, verse 2. Doesn't it look like that? "There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Why not? Well, because you've been set free from the law of sin and death. In other words, it looks like it's saying we're justified because we've been sanctified. We have no condemnation because we've been set free from the power of sin. But that misses the whole point here. Paul's not talking about that at all. What he's talking about is the fact that we have changed realms. And look at verse 2 again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You see, he's talking about more than the fact that you're no longer a slave to sin. He's talking about the fact that you've passed out of this realm and you've passed into this realm. He says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because they're no longer in that realm anymore. They're over here in this realm. Okay? They're in Christ. And verse 2 is actually talking about a transfer of realms. Whenever you become a Christian, you pass out of the whole realm of flesh and sin and wretchedness and law and condemnation and death and into the realm of the Spirit and righteousness and peace and grace and justification and life. The Spirit instead of the flesh. Righteousness instead of sin. Justification instead of condemnation. Peace instead of wretchedness. So a whole new realm that we're in. Bondage, or freedom instead of bondage. And life instead of death. So just say it in one word, you can say you're no longer in Adam, but you're in Christ. So this man who's in the old realm in chapter 7, here, what can we say about him? Well, he's under sin. He's under the law. He's in the flesh. He's of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. He's under the power of death. Death reigning over him. And so, in other words, this man that he's been talking about here in chapter 7 is in the old realm, and he's crying out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" And the answer to his question comes in verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free or delivered you. Who will set me free? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. So, just to realize here that we're talking about the new realm in Christ. Romans 8:1 begins talking about this, and it goes right through to the end of the chapter. So what Paul is doing here is he's going to conclude what he began to talk about in chapter 5. He started saying, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. He did that in various ways, and now he's going to come back to that. And so he says, now, in Christ there's no condemnation. In Christ you've been set free from the law of sin and death. And as you go through the chapter, he starts talking about the fullness and the finality and the certainty of our salvation in Christ. And finally, he gets over to the end of chapter 8, and he says, there's no condemnation for who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So all down through here, he's talking about this new realm of being in Christ Jesus. Well, in Christ Jesus are the key words here. They're the most comprehensive words that you can ever use when you speak about this change of realms. And what I wanted to do, actually this is an appendix in this book that I've written that's supposed to be coming out before too long. But I want to talk a little bit about this thing of being in Christ Jesus. What's true of us in Christ Jesus? Well, he says, one thing that's true of you in Christ Jesus is that there's no condemnation. Another thing that's true of you in Christ Jesus is that you've been set free from the law of sin and death. But there's a whole lot more that's true of us in Christ Jesus. So, let me just share a few of these things. It was in Christ Jesus that God's purpose and grace were granted to us from all eternity. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. In Ephesians 1:4-6, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. So, here we have the purpose and grace granted us in Christ Jesus. So here's this realm. Here we are in Adam. Over here, here we are in Christ. And in Christ Jesus, His own purpose and grace was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. In Christ, the purposes and promises of God are all fulfilled. Ephesians 3:11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So over here in this realm that we're in, this eternal purpose was carried out in Christ Jesus. Again, in Christ, our spiritual blindness is removed. 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. So in Christ, the veil is removed. In Christ, we're new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. So you get over here in this realm, what happens to you? You're a new creation. The veil is removed in this realm. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And Colossians 2:11, in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. In Him we're new creatures. In Christ we have redemption. Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So here I am taken out of Adam and put over here in Christ, and in Him I have redemption. And I have the veil removed from my eyes. I can see. And I'm a new creature in Him. You see, you can talk about all the blessings of justification and regeneration and all those things, or you can just say, I'm in Christ. If you're in Him and you're united to Him, you've got new life. You're a new creation. And if you're in Him, you've got all the benefits of what He did for you. So you have redemption in Him. Now here's another one. In Christ, we've been brought near. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know good and well, no matter how far out you were in sin, once you get in Christ, you're as close as you can get. Just immediately when you're in Him. In Christ, we have forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. In Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have forgiveness. There's nobody that could possibly be in Christ and not be forgiven. So to say that I'm in Christ is to say I'm totally, 100% forgiven. In Christ we have righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. By His doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And Philippians 3:9, that I might be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but the righteousness which comes from God through faith. You see, when you get to be in Christ, what righteousness have you got? You've got His. So in Him you have righteousness. In Christ we're justified. Galatians 2:17. If while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also have been found sinners and so on, but we're seeking to be justified in Christ. In Christ we have no condemnation. Romans 8:1 we just read. And freedom from the law of sin and death. In Christ we have liberty. He says, these false brethren came in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. So whenever a person is taken out of the realm of Adam and put into the realm of Christ, first thing is he's got liberty. He's no longer under the law anymore. He's under grace. In Christ, religious ceremonies mean nothing. Now listen to this, Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You know that. It doesn't matter what our background is, Jew or Gentile or whatever. None of those things mean anything if you're in Christ. Who cares whether you've been circumcised or baptized or whatever if you're in Christ? As far as the ultimate reality of having eternal life and knowing God. What would you rather, be baptized or be in Christ? Now, the best thing would be to be in Christ and to follow Him in baptism in His time. That's not it. But see, those things don't matter. The big thing is, are you in Christ? In Christ, we're sanctified. It says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. How could you ever be taken out of Adam and be put in Christ and not be holy, not be set apart? You're already set apart by the fact that you're in Christ. So in Him, you're a saint. Anybody that's in Christ has already been set apart. By His doing, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us sanctification. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. In Christ we're dead to sin and alive to God. He's Romans 6:11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Has to be. If you've been taken out of the realm of Adam and put over here in Christ, you know you're dead to sin. You're not in that realm anymore. And you know that you're alive to God, because everything that's true of Him is true of you. So you're dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In Christ we have been made complete, Colossians 2:10. And in Him you have been made complete. How could you possibly be lacking anything if you're in Him? You see the logic of it? As soon as you're transferred over here and you're in union with Him and you share His life, how could you lack anything if you've got Christ? If you're in Him. In Christ, we've been made complete. In Christ, we have boldness and confident access. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and confident access through faith. Wouldn't you have confident access to God if you're in Christ? You see how comprehensive this thing is? In Christ, we have an inheritance. How could you not if you're in Him and He has everything? And so in Ephesians 1:10 and 11, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. In Christ is God's eternal glory. 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish. You know, eternal heaven, what is heaven? It's to be in Christ. Eternal glory is to be in Christ. Try to picture eternal glory apart from Christ. Suppose Christ wasn't there in heaven. Well, His eternal glory in Christ. In Christ we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Christ we have resurrection power, Ephesians 1:19 and 20. What is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe, in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead? It's obvious too, isn't it? If we're put in Him and we have His life, then the very same power that's working in Him is working in us. In Christ we have spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 1:5, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge. So enriched in Christ. In Christ we have every blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Picture being in Christ and not having every spiritual blessing. You think there might be some blessings that are outside of Him that He doesn't have? You see, the logic of it, you can just see how the whole idea of being put in Him means that you've passed out of the realm of sin and death, you've passed out of the realm of condemnation, and you're in the realm of righteousness and life, and you have every spiritual blessing. And we even have the blessing of Abraham. He says, in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham comes to the Gentiles. Of course. In Christ are found the love and grace and peace of God. Romans 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See how every blessing imaginable is in Christ. In Christ, we're in the heavenly places. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, we know that too, don't we? Because if we're in Him, where's He? He's in the heavenly places. So we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In Christ, there are riches and glory. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In Christ all things hold together. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And in Christ we have life. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So you can see here, just a little. I mean, there's so much. Look at this one. In Christ, we're all one. Romans 12:5. So we, who are many members, are one body in Christ. If we're all in the same person, we're all one, of course. So, of course, we're one body in Christ. Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. Now, I hope you can get this thing here. I don't feel like I gave it very clearly, but at the beginning of these two verses, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see the big words? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You see, He's talking about this transfer of realms over to being in Christ. We're no longer in this complex of condemnation and sin and death of chapter 7, but we're in this new realm where we've died to those things and we're in Christ. And so that's the key. So, Paul mentions here two things specifically in verses 1 and 2. That flow from being in Christ. Out of all these hundreds of things that we could talk about, he mentions two here. And the first one is, in verse 1, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I mean, if there was any condemnation, you couldn't be in Christ. If you're in Christ, if you're united to Him, obviously, the condemnation has been taken care of. So the first thing I want us to realize is that this is an ongoing reality. It's true all the time for the Christian. It's just like back in chapter 5, verse 1, where he says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Having been justified. So there was a time back here when you became a Christian and God justified you. And that continues right on up to the present. You're still justified, you see. It's something you have. You have been justified and you remain justified. It's a continuing state. And having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's a continuing thing. It's not that you got peace the day you became a Christian, and then as soon as you commit one sin, God's no longer at peace with you, and you lose that relationship with God, and He's your enemy again. But you have peace with God. It's an ongoing, permanent state. That song that we sang, "My love is oft times low, my joy still ebbs and flows, but peace with Him remains the same. No change Jehovah knows." So it's an ongoing reality of peace. Now, it's an ongoing reality of no condemnation. So the day that you become a Christian, there's no condemnation for you. And the next day, there's no condemnation for you. And the next day, and the next day. Why isn't there any condemnation? Well, because you've moved out of the realm of law, there's nothing to condemn you anymore. You've died to the law, and you're alive to God. Now notice this, he doesn't say there are no shortcomings in those who are in Christ Jesus. And he doesn't say there are no failings in those who are in Christ Jesus. And he doesn't say there are no sins in those who are in Christ Jesus. And he doesn't say there are no ups and downs in those who are in Christ Jesus. But he says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Continuing ongoing state of never being condemned. Now that is incredible. A continuing, ongoing state of never being condemned. Even when you sin, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You say, that's dangerous. People take that and run away with it and go live in sin. That's exactly the same thing that he talked about in chapter 6 and verse 14. He says, shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. And he explains why it can't happen. If you're a Christian, when you find out as a Christian, look, I sinned, I failed God, but He still loves me as His child and I'm not under condemnation. I still belong to Him. And He's still smiling upon me and He still loves me. When you find that out as a Christian, you don't say, well, I'm good, I'm going to go sin now. What it does is it breaks your heart and you say, I don't want to sin anymore. And you're that much more wanting to follow God because of grace. Now, this whole deal of following God, you know, loving God, it's in the realm of grace. And if you're a Christian, you know that being beat with a stick never does help you to really go and press on and follow the Lord. It just doesn't work. That's not, in other words, what does law do? Law puts you back here, what we talked about in chapter 7. Grace, what it does is makes you want to, a true Christian, it makes them want to press on and follow the Lord. That's why the psalmist says, if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, that is, if you should condemn me every time I do something wrong, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. That's the only way we could have any hope. Otherwise, you'd collapse trying to please God. God's love for me and God's acceptance of me is not based on my performance, but it's based on His unchanging grace in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. They've passed out of that realm. They're in this realm of grace now. They're no longer under the law, but under grace. Well, what else does Paul say about those who are in Christ Jesus? Verse 2, he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, what is this law of sin and death? Well, we don't have to search very far to find it because he just spent the whole last half of chapter 7 talking about it. And he talks about this law of sin in his members and bringing forth death, and who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's a whole complex of condemnation and sin and death and flesh and everything that we've looked at in this last half of chapter 7. And he says here that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from all that and moved us into a whole new realm of life and peace. Now, this is the thing that I want us to get here. When he talks about the law of sin in his members, back in chapter 7, he's talking about a ruling power. Sin in a lost man, sin is a ruling power, and it rules over him, and it makes him a prisoner to this law of sin that's in his members. Now, what's he say is true of the Christian? He says that the law, this ruling power of the Spirit of life, has set the Christian free from the ruling power of sin and death, the law of sin and death. And so what no other person than the Holy Spirit himself comes in power and overthrows all that kingdom of darkness and moves me into the kingdom of life and light. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in other words, here's a man who's dead in trespasses and sin, the Holy Spirit comes. Spirit of life in Christ Jesus comes and raises him from the dead and overpowers and puts him in a whole new realm and breaks all the power of that old thing. And the condemnation and the sin and the death and the misery and the wretchedness and all that is broken. And he's been put into the realm of life and peace and given a new heart and a new mind. So he's talking here about a transfer from one realm to the other. From the realm of sin and death to the realm of life and peace and righteousness by the power of the Spirit, or he's talking about the transfer from the realm of being in Adam to the realm of being in Christ. But I want us to take a little time here to talk about this word free. He set you free. The man in chapter 7 says, verse 24, "Who will set me free?" And Paul answers in verse 2, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free," if you're a Christian. So, freedom. This man in chapter 7 is in a state of slavery or bondage. He says, "I am a flesh sold into bondage to sin." And the emphasis in many places is on freedom. He says back in verse 6, "We've been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound," as a bondage again, as opposed to freedom. So, freedom by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this theme of slavery or bondage under the law comes up a lot, and especially in Galatians. And Paul says in Galatians 4:3 that we were held in bondage under the elemental principles of the world, the law. Bondage under the law. And the verse I just quoted there in Romans 7 and verse 6, that we've been released from that bondage that we were in, by which we were bound. So, the lost man is in bondage to the law, and what does the law do? Well, it can't impart life, but it shuts men up under sin. So bondage to law always leads to bondage to sin. That's chapter 7. They go hand in hand. And so again in Galatians, I just quote some passages from Galatians. In 4:25, Paul says that the present Jerusalem is in bondage with her children. The bondage to the law. In 5:1, he says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of bondage or slavery. Stand fast," remember in the King James, "stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage." So, freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Now, what's the point here? Well, I want to say this. Even as a Christian, you can start concentrating on law and get the mindset of all these rules and duties, and you can get back into bondage in your experience. Now, let's just turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. And verse 4. "When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, that's bondage, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things, that is law, to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Amazing how the flesh gravitates towards that. I mean, it's a temptation of the flesh to go back to observances. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time, and that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Now, some people think that Paul had some kind of an eye condition that was distasteful to look at and so on. I don't know. But anyway, there was some kind of temptation to loathe his bodily condition. Verse 15, where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out in order that you may seek them. Now, see, he's talking about these false teachers that wanted them to be circumcised and so on. But look at what had happened. When Paul came into Galatia and preached the gospel of grace to them, they became Christians and believed through grace. And what would there was such joy, such blessedness, sense of blessedness. And as soon as legalism starts to come in, that sense of blessedness always goes out the window. And he says, where is that sense of blessedness that you had? In fact, now they started getting cold toward Paul and turning against him because he wasn't doing the things that they were supposed to be doing, and they were doing them. Now, isn't that the way it is? The blessedness goes out the window as soon as the legalism comes in, or the concentration, even on concentration on duty or law comes in. I mean, it doesn't take long at all. If you're concentrating on your love relationship to Christ, there's blessedness, there's life. But you start getting into this list of rules and things and following duties, the life is gone out of it. You just got this impersonal bunch of rules, and blessedness goes out the window. There's no longer a sense of blessedness. In fact, you turn against people that shared the gospel with you. That's what was happening at Galatia. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. You have to make your choice, you know, between works or grace. If it's going to be works, then you don't get to have Christ in the package. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he's under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You've fallen from grace. In other words, if you're going to take that position, if you really want to do that, you're putting yourself in a different realm than the realm of grace and the realm of Christ. Verse 5, for we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, here this is, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Now go down to verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. You see the context here? We just kind of go to the I don't know what the word is for it. The verses like verse 16, they just stand out, you know. And we go to verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those are big, you know, wonderful promises. But the context in the verse right before it, if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. You say, well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. What's that doing right there by that? Well, the fact is, if you start getting legalistic in your thinking, and by that I mean is concentrating on rules and duty, even good things, like quiet time or whatever, and that's the center of your life instead of your relationship to Christ, it's not long before you're biting other people's heads off. It just happens. And so what was going on here at Galatia is, they're going to get real spiritual. They're going to start doing all these laws and rules and regulations. And you know what happens? The sense of blessedness goes out the window. Love goes out the window. And everybody's judging everybody else and lashing out at everybody else. You see how this that fits together? Now, he says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And so, walk in that freedom, walk by the Spirit, and not carry out the desires of the flesh. Well, back to Romans 8. Let's try to just go over this before we close. One last time to understand the flow here. He introduces everything back in Chapter 7, verses 5 and 6, and especially verse 6, he says, we've been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been released. Here we were over here in the realm of the flesh under the law, under the power of sin, under the power of death. And he says, you've died to that. You've been released from that. And now you're over here and you're alive in a new realm. You're in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, you've got everything there is to have. In Him, there's no condemnation. You've died to the law. In Him, the law of the Spirit of life has overcome all of that whole realm of condemnation and death and everything else, and you're alive now from the dead, you're a new person. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. You're no longer back there in chapter 7 as you were before you became a Christian, but you're a new creation. And what's true in Christ Jesus? Well, you've been set free. And so stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage, either to the law or to sin. Well, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, what's the foundation of that? Well, that's what we're going to look at, Lord willing, next time. For, verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. And he's going to explain how all this was accomplished, what the foundation of it was in verses 3 and 4. Well, let's pray. Lord, we can't imagine what it means to say that we're in Christ Jesus. And we're so thankful for that you've taken us out, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of your beloved Son. And I pray that we might meditate on the fact that we are now in Christ Jesus. In Him, we're set apart, we're sanctified, we're new creatures. We have to be, if we have His life, we'd have to be new creatures. And we can't be condemned if we have His righteousness and all of His merit and obedience is laid to our account. It's impossible to think that we could be condemned if we're in Christ. And in Christ we're free from the law of sin and death. And in Christ we're justified, and in Christ we're sanctified, and in Christ we're redeemed, and in Christ we have eternal life. And in Christ we're one. And we thank You, Lord, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus came to us individually and set us free and transferred us into this new realm and put us in Christ. And we pray that we might believe these things and walk in these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.